Greetings, respected viewers. So one of my fans wanted me to say that. Anyway, so this video is commenting on the fact the United Kingdom announced just yesterday that it shall be providing the Ukrainians with Challenger 2 tanks. Now, the Challenger 2 is the United Kingdom's main battle tank, but they've been around for nigh on 40 years. They've seen action in the Gulf War of 1991, the Iraq War of 2003, I think some of them might have been sent to Afghanistan. I don't think anyone using the Falklands. And then they came into service just after the Falklands. It was a Challenger upgraded to Challenger 2. Now, the British Army has been cut back and cut back and cut back, and it's about half the number of soldiers it had 30 years ago, down to only about 70,000 soldiers. So it was tiny. It's far too small. The UK spending only 2% of GDP on that, but that's going to be the NATO minimum. And actually, loads of NATO countries weren't even meeting that. But anyway, the UK had something like 240 tanks, is that right? Now, the Challenger 2s, they were going to upgrade them to Challenger 3, going to be completed, I think, in 2025. And then some of the Challenger 2s are going to be retired, about 79 of them. How many Challenger 2s are being donated to Ukraine? His Majesty's government has not disclosed that. The rumours in the media are that it's 10 or 12, that three are going initially, a further nine to be dispatched later on. So usually these NATO countries, they don't declare how much kit they're giving. They'll say which particular asset they're donating to the Ukrainians, but they won't say the number of that particular asset. So obviously very good news for the Ukrainians. Challenger 2s, and I don't know much about tanks, are said to be superb. You know, they're very, very difficult to destroy, but the downside is they're heavy and therefore they use an awful lot of fuel. But they're meant to be not as quite difficult to maintain as the American M1 Abrams tank. Right, so you know, normally you would need training, even for a tanker, I'm told, of a few months on a new tank. But Ukraine doesn't have a few months to be rushed through. But like everything NATO has given, it's been quite grudging. The Ukrainians have been beseeching NATO countries for months, and finally this has been given. So the UK is the first NATO country to donate a main battle tank. There'll be some light tanks the French have given, for example. Sorry, apart from, I should say, the Soviet-era tanks, which are T-72s and so on, the Poland and Slovakia were given, only when that was backfilled by, I think, the United States giving them more modern tanks so they wouldn't be short on tanks. The advantage of giving these Soviet-era tanks that the Poles and Slovaks donated is the Ukrainians already trained on those. They just knew how to use them, and they've been somewhat modernized. But Challenger 2s are said to be superior, can outclass the Soviet tanks, as in faster, more maneuverable, a more powerful gun, I don't know, that they have anti-aircraft protection, things like that. But they require a crew of four. Well, I think the Soviet-era tanks will have a crew of three, if I've got that right. One thing about this loader, and hey, show my ignorance here, is why do you need a loader? You think, well, we don't have a system where we actually put the shells into the gun anyway. Well, obviously not. I'm showing how stupid I am with military affairs by even asking the question, no doubt. The Russia has warned that it will intensify the conflict. And this is the statement from the Russian embassy in the United Kingdom. Bringing tanks to the conflict zone, far from drawing the hostilities to a close, will only serve to intensify combat operations, generating casualties, including amongst the civilian population. Close quotation. So there we have it. The Russians threatening to kill more civilians. And they've killed tens of thousands of civilians already, and many of them deliberately. There have been numerous atrocities committed by the Russian forces, such as Bucha. So this is not collateral damage. This is no accident. It's willful. It's purposive. It's premeditated, taking out civilians and murdering them, knowing them to be civilians and to be no threats whatsoever. And yet again, even today, more strikes on the civilian heating infrastructure in an attempt to freeze civilians to death. People thought that the Russians might be stopping that. They hadn't done it for a few days. They still run low on missiles and rockets. Moreover, patently, it had failed. They've been doing this for almost 3 months. And actually, that may have been the saving grace for the Ukrainian military. If all those munitions had not been going on civilian targets, but on military targets, the Russians might have done it rather better. But it shows you just how blinded by their own racist hatred the Russian regime is. They would rather waste its munitions killing Ukrainian civilians than it would use it against the Ukrainian military. So horrific though the human consequences of that are, it's probably actually helped Ukraine win the war. So they've taken their eye off the ball. The idea is the UK is hoping that more NATO countries will start to donate them. The Ukrainians have been pleading for months for the Germans to give them the Leopard tanks, which are so supposed to be superb, easier to maintain, and so on. They haven't done them. The Germans also sold Leopards to the Finns, to the Poles, and so on, who are willing to donate them. But the export agreement is that the Finns and Poles can only give them to anyone else with the consent of the Germans, and that consent is not forthcoming. Why are they so pusillanimous? Well, if you try and defend democracy and human rights in Ukraine, Russia says, oh, you're Nazis, remember what you did to us all those decades ago. This racist, Teutonophobic argument, what they say about the Second World War is true. But, you know, we're not in the Second World War. That's almost 80 years ago. How about the atrocities being committed by a fascist aggressor today, namely the Russian Federation? And that's how we need to safeguard the Ukrainian civilians. So, yes, it will intensify the conflict. And that's the only way it's going to end, when the Ukrainians are able to adequately defend themselves and liberate the illegally occupied territory, which was seized by Russia through an illegal war of unprovoked aggression. So this is upholding human rights, is protecting civilians. And that's why the Ukrainians need to be armed to the teeth. Incidentally, you know, 2 days ago, Russia claimed to have taken the town of Soledar. Ukraine disputes that, but without much vehemence. So the head of President Zelensky's office said that they need more military equipment, more armor, and so on to win. So the Ukrainian foreign minister, again, has been begging the Americans to send this kind of thing. So it might set off a chain reaction. Other people might give tanks. But is this too little, too late? Because if this had been supplied a year ago, this war might never have begun. If it was by a few months ago, Ukraine might have won already. We would actually have saved lives in the long run. Peace through strength. So the only thing that's going to stop Putin is if the Ukrainians are able to stop him. There is no appeal to goodwill. Sanctions of their own won't work. They're hurting the Russian economy, but not enough to actually end the war. Nobody cares about the suffering of ordinary Russian people, who's been willing to rip off, he's been willing to murder his own civilians and so on, to start a conflict in Chechnya and so forth. Anyway, so remember, there's a meeting next week of the Ukraine Defense Contact Group at Ramstein US Air Force Base in Germany. So those who donate arms to Ukraine will meet and discuss what they ought to dispatch, who will give what, the training available. And some of these things are going to take a long time. You know, the Patriot anti-aircraft defense system, the Ukraine's being trained on in the United States right now, as the US has announced. Now, that would normally take a year to train you on, but they couldn't try to telescope that into just a few months because it's so urgent. They might be working, you know, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week without any days off, and just cutting a few corners on that one. These systems cost $1 billion each. So the United States and Germany have donated them. But there's going to be a spring offensive. Put yourself in Putin's shoes. You'd have to attack, wouldn't you? You cannot win by just waiting there. So all these people he called up, throw them forward. And I'm just worried that Ukraine hasn't been sufficiently armed to repel them, has been able to beef up the military and so on. So breaking Ukraine through lack of heating isn't going to work. Certainly not next winter. They may well be connected to the European electric grid. By then they'll have even more warm clothing, even more Arctic tents, more generators, more batteries for when the electricity is working to use it, and maybe more of the civilians will be abroad. So the Russian economy has shrunk 10% last year, but there's been a 30% diminution of the Ukrainian economy, so it's hurt them even worse. But of course, this is a war for survival in Ukraine, where it's not a war of survival for Russia, despite Putin pretending otherwise. He has attempted the Kretinization of his own people by preventing them learning any critical thinking in school or university, by the incessant propagandizing of children, by the militarization of childhood, by brainwashing them into hyper-nationalist, militaristic rhetoric, militarizing children, having them dress up in army uniforms and so on, and expectorating hatred, preaching hatred against free countries, and supposedly making them adore their own oppression. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Please donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. I really need donations to keep this going. It'd be an awful pity if I went off the air. And please subscribe on Patreon. Goodbye.